Amen. Would you please turn to Genesis chapter 21? Ishmael's resentment. Resentment. The excitement of the passion of anger that comes from a perception that I have been injured by others. Key word, perception. The wrong does not have to be real, only perceived for resentment to occur. Resentment comes from a root of bitterness. As referred to in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There is bitterness, and then there are roots of bitterness, and resentment is one of those roots. Resentment for an injury, unfortunately, may start out as a targeting one person, but then expand to many people. One of the biblical examples of this is Haman in the book of Esther. If you recall, Haman was very upset because Mordecai would not bow down to him. He found out that Mordecai was a Jew, and then not only did he want to destroy Mordecai, he wanted to destroy all the Jews because of his resentment against Mordecai. Esther chapter 3. Esther chapter 5, and in Esther chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus." Why all the Jews? It was only Mordecai that wouldn't bow down to him. In Esther chapter 5, in verse 9, it says he was full of indignation against Mordecai. And in verse 13 of that chapter, it says, "Yet all of this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." And so his whole thing was he had to destroy all the Jews. This root of bitterness consumed Ishmael so much that it penetrated throughout all his generations, and even today, this root of bitterness, this resentment against Israel, continues. So let's observe the beginning of that root of bitterness in Ishmael. In Genesis chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, "Hagar bare Abram a son." That was Ishmael. Ishmael was Abraham's firstborn son. Abraham brought Ishmael under the covenant. Remember the token of the covenant, and that was applied to Ishmael in Genesis chapter 17 and verses 23 through 25, when Abraham applied the token of the covenant to all of the men in his household. He also applied that to Ishmael. So Ishmael was brought under the covenant that God had made with Abraham. And Ishmael was offered by Abraham as a potential heir. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 18, Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." You know, he was getting older. God had promised that a son would become a great nation and all of this. And Sarah wasn't having a child, and so he already had a son. Why not Ishmael? Of course, God had a different plan. So in Genesis chapter 21, Isaac is born. Verse 1, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. So it was just as God had said. God had even the year before set a specific time, and lo and behold, Isaac is born. And at the age of 8 days, Isaac is brought under the covenant. And the token of the covenant was applied to Isaac in verse 4. And so a great feast was made on the day that it was declared Isaac was weaned from his mother. Verse 5. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have this child? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, it's uncertain as to what age this was. Could have been 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. If he was about 2 or 3 years old, this would make Ishmael about 15 or 16 years old. And a great feast. Abraham had a lot of employees, a lot of servants. Remember, everywhere he went and he claimed that his wife was his sister, he ended up getting lavished with all kinds of gifts and more money and more animals and more servants. And he must have been a tremendously wealthy man. Big feast. Everybody's going to be invited to the party. And then something happens. Ishmael is not happy. And he mocks. He mocks Isaac. He laughs at him. He makes fun of him. He imitates him with contempt and makes jokes about him. That's what it means to mock. And in verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. He got caught. Mocking. To make fun. To joke. Remember, when Lot was talking to his sons-in-law in the city of Sodom, and he goes to them and says that the angels have come and said they're going to destroy the city. Remember what it said? But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They thought he was joking. Oh, it's just a joke. Have any of you ever told a joke? Anyone ever not told a joke? Jokes are funny sometimes. Oh, remember when Elijah was facing the 400 prophets of Baal? And he mocked the prophets of Baal. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 27. Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And Elijah was having a lot of fun with the prophets of Baal. Well, this is the kind of thing that Ishmael was doing with Isaac. Joking, making fun. And Sarah didn't like it. And so in verse 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. But Abraham didn't want to do this. In verse 11, the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. No, he didn't like this at all. But in verse 12, God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so God tells Abraham to do exactly what Sarah insists that he do, and send Hagar and Ishmael away. Was Sarah justified in her rebuke of Ishmael for mocking? Would you look over in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17? Actually, we'll look in verse 15. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Do you know what would happen if you looked up that word laughed in Strong's Concordance? You would find out it's exactly the same word as the word mock. Abraham mocked God for saying Sarah would have a son in her old age. Not only that, go over to chapter 18 and verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed, same word, within herself. It wasn't out loud, but it was in her heart, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, same word. So even though she didn't do it out loud, God still heard it, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, oh, I laughed not, same word, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. What's the difference between what Abraham and Sarah did and what Ishmael did? Same word, same action. Maybe she was a little too hard on Ishmael, but God endorsed sending Hagar and Ishmael away. God doesn't always instruct us exactly the same in each situation. Did you know that? Do you remember when Hagar ran away? This was before Ishmael was born. She was with child, but Ishmael hadn't been born yet, and she ran away. Genesis chapter 16, verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he explains all about how this son is going to be quite a man, but she is supposed to go back. Now, it's time for her to leave. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 12, God said to Abraham, "Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now, it appears that God wanted to deal with Ishmael personally and independently. Time for them to separate. There was a time for them to be together. Now there's a time for them to be separated. God assures Abraham that he will bless Ishmael, verse 13, "And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed." So Abraham dutifully sent Hagar and Ishmael away, verse 14. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, put it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away." Now, things go poorly for Hagar and Ishmael. Remember, Ishmael's at least 15 years old at this point, I would say. And in verse 14, it says, "She departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs." Now, he's a teen. I don't know how big he is, but he's 15 years old. He's famished. She puts him under a bush. She thinks he's going to die. Verse 16, "She went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept." Now, the distance that you can shoot an arrow is pretty good distance. So she goes off. She expects him to die. And she's sitting there waiting for that to happen. But verse 17, God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. And so God rescued them and preserved Ishmael's life. It says in verse 20 that God was with the lad. He grew, dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And then it says in verse 21 that he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. I don't know, but it sure seems like his mother is sure involved in his life and almost seems to be controlling things. Just an observation. I don't know what all to make of that. But Ishmael had 12 sons. Genesis chapter 25, verse 12. Genesis chapter 25, verse 12. "Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael was Nebajoth," means heights, high, something very high, "and Kedar, dark, and Abdiel, chastened of God, and Mibsam, sweet odor, and Mishma, a hearing, and Duma, silence, Massa, burden, Hadar, honor. And Tema, desert. Jeter, enclosed. Naphish, refreshment. And Kedemah, original. Wonder how some of these names come about, what the circumstances are of their lives that they get names like this. But it says in verse 16 here, these are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns, by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations, and these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. In other words, he pretty much filled up the Arabian Peninsula. And the Arabs are pretty much from Ishmael, and some from Edom, we'll see in a moment. Now, in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 12, God said that Ishmael would be a wild man. Not only that, his hand, he said in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 12, will be against every man and every man's hand against him. Ishmael would be an antagonistic, angry man. Yet God gave him many opportunities to be grateful. Back in chapter 21, Genesis chapter 21 and verse 13, he said, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. Drop down to verse 18. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And that's exactly what God did. Made him a great nation. In fact, 12 sons and 12 nations. Chapter 25, verse 16 and verse 18. Yet throughout the generations, Ishmael's descendants have continued their resentment against Israel. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 9. Then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael. Now, Esau is the father of the Edomites. And so we have a union between Esau and Ishmael, Ishmael's daughter, anyway, marries Esau. And the Edomites and the Ishmaelites are at the very head of those who want to destroy the nation of Israel. Would you look in Psalm 83? Psalm 83. Beginning in verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, that would be Israel, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And now it's going to list that confederacy, and look who the first two are. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites. Do you know that today the Arabs still want this in verses 4 and 5 to come about? They want Israel to be null and void. They want to wipe them off the face of the earth. They do not want Israel to exist. It was true in history. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 16. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah and brake into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also and his wives. These Arabians, of course, included the Ishmaelites. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 19, when Nehemiah was trying to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us. So the Arabians were part of the resistance in rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. We come up to the modern era. The 1948-49 war came right after the new beginning of the nation of Israel, and reflected the opposition of the Arab states to the formation of a Jewish state in what they considered to be Arab territories. 1956, Israel, joined by France and Great Britain, attacked Egypt after that country had nationalized the Suez Canal and was preventing Israel from going through there. June 5 to 10, 1967, the Arab and Israeli forces clashed for the third time in what came to be known as the Six-Day War. 1973-74, the Yom Kippur War. Egypt, Syria, and Iraq attacked Israel on the Jewish Holy Day of Atonement, catching the Israelis off guard. 1978, the Palestinian guerrillas from their base in Lebanon launched an air raid on Israel in retaliation. Israel sent troops into the south of Lebanon to occupy a strip 4 to 6 miles deep and thus protect Israel's border. And then, beginning in 2002, a constant barrage of missiles. 17 rockets were fired into Israel in 2002. In 2003, 123 missiles. In 2004, 1,158. In 2005, 860. 2006, 1,275. In 2007, 2,807 missiles fired into Israel. In succeeding years, there were 2,378, 858, 365, 680. Then in 2012, there were 2,257. In 2013, 68. In 2014, 4,036. Then 23, 15, 35. In 2018, there were 370. 2019, 242. 2020, 167, and in 2021, just last year, 3,150 missiles were fired into Israel in just 1 week. Over a period of 20 years, there was a grand total of 22,000 plus missiles fired from Arab territories into Israel. Can you imagine? That's an average of 3 missiles every day for 20 years. Living in a land where you never know where a missile might strike. Because most of these missiles are not targeted at any specific spot. They're just fired randomly, and you never know where it's going to land. Look at the unsettledness in the entire world that has resulted from a teenager's resentment of the preference given to a toddler. Hebrews chapter 12, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It's bad enough that resentment troubles you. But what is worse is when your resentment spills over and affects many others. Resentment's just not worth it. It wasn't worth it for Ishmael. In the end, Israel's going to win anyway. And God had promised Ishmael so much. He could have prospered under God's covenant. But in his anger and resentment, in the end, he will lose everything. Don't lose everything because you resent what others have. Be thankful for what God has given you. Take that and be content. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. We feel sorry for Ishmael. Could have been so much better. But the seeds of his resentment have plagued so many multiple generations and are part of the turmoil that's in our world today. Teach us how to be content and protect us from resenting others for what they have. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.